It's Woohoo Extra!
Woohoo!
Christmas style!
Woohoo!
Relax and spend some extra time with Holmesy. And now, here's Holmesy.
Woohoo!
And thank you, and good afternoon, folks. Always a pleasure to spend some time with you here on radio once more. Where, as the nice lady said,
it's Woohoo Extra, Christmas style.
Woohoo!
And I'm Holmesy, a.k.a. Johnny Holmes.
In person.
And this is an extra special installment of Woohoo Extra. We have special guest Rick Goldschmidt joining us today. As a matter of fact, he's waiting in the wings to join us as we speak. He's there right now. But before we bring on Rick, also joining us is the co-host, the executive producer, the first lady of Woohoo Extra, Helen! Hello, sweetie.
Hello, everybody.
During our show, we welcome your questions for our guest, Rick. And you can share your questions and comments on our Radio Once More Facebook page. And you can get there by going to www.facebook.com. Type in Radio Once More in the search box. That will take you to the thread. It's up and running. Pinned to the top for your Christmas convenience, ladies and gentlemen. And once you're there, you'll see the flyer with Rick Goldschmidt and the wonderful Helen and yours truly, Johnny Boy. We're in that flyer. And you can share any comments or questions you have for Rick in that thread. And in addition to the Facebook, you can email us at radioonceMore@yahoo.com. Again, radioonceMore@yahoo.com. Or you can give us a call on the Holmesy listener line. And the Holmesy listener line phone number is 609-845-3570. And we do have some early Facebook activity. So let's do a quick Christmas reload. And we'll have Helen update us on the Facebook.
Behave yourselves. You can be darn sure that come snow or high water,
Santa Claus is coming to town.
All right, take it away, sweetie.
Okay, on our remote thread, we have quite a few people checking off the like feature. We have Michelle Bacucci. We have Shanti, Kathy Smeagol, Donna Christine Park, John Zimmer, Marianne Lau, Elsie Hogan Young, Susan Plotz, Mike Haley, and Rick Goldschmidt, Betty Baker Barr, Betty Jaker Barr, Michael Lynn, Lawrence Burke, Martin Grahams, Brian Beck, Josie DiMatteo Dwyer, Christine Kretzdubinski, Dolores Hainer, Henry Cruz, Guy Carr, Patrick Mannix, Stephanie Thompson, and Marion Pellucci.
Wow, what a crowd. Thank you, folks. A round of complimentary woo-hoos.
Woo-hoo!
And another.
Woo-hoo!
One more with some Christmas magic.
Woo-hoo!
And over on our Radio Once More page, Radio Once More page, Joanna Wilson, Charlie Lynch, Rick Goldschmidt, Mike Haley, and Bon Romer checking off the like feature.
Thank you so much, folks. Another round of woohoos. complimentary, dipped in some Christmas magic.
Woohoo!
And another
chocolate.
Woohoo!
Chocolate Christmas magic.
Woohoo!
All right. The Facebook is going to be open throughout the entire show, so feel free to say hello to our guests and pose any questions that you may have. He's going to be here about an hour. And it is now time. Yes. Time to welcome back to Radio Once More, author, pop culture historian, and official historian and biographer for Rankin Bass Productions, Rick Goldschmidt.
Woohoo!
Hello, Rick. Welcome back to Radio Once More.
Thanks for having me on this Woohoo Extra.
Yes, this is going to be a fun Woohoo Extra. Thanks so much. Rick has written various Rankin Bass books over the years, including The Enchanted World of Rankin Bass, The Arthur Rankin Jr. Scrapbook, The Making of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, The Making of Santa Claus is Coming to Town and The Daydreamer, and Frosty the Snowman 50th Anniversary Scrapbook. These books, along with some other neat items, are available at Rick's website, which is www.miserbros.com. So, Rick, speaking of Rankin Bass, there was some big Rankin Bass news recently regarding an auction and two of the original Rankin Bass Animagic figures from the 1964 classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Can you tell us about that big news, Rick?
Well, yeah, there is a lot to tell. There's been a lot of misinformation about those two puppets. They're not the only two that survived from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but they are the only two from the display that was at the Rockefeller Plaza NBC display in New York. For a while, they had several of the Animagic figures from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on display there in the late 60s into the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And they eventually made their way back to the Rankin Bass offices. And Arthur gave the puppets to his secretary, Barbara Adams, who I met at his memorial in Bermuda, and we became great friends. So she gave them to her nephew, and the only two out of the batch that survived was Santa and Rudolph. But most of the puppets, especially the ones that were shot in the actual special, remained in Japan, and I documented them in my last couple of books, the Santa Claus Has Come to Town and the Frosty book, that there's another Santa, there's reindeer, Mrs. Claus actually turned up too in Japan. So there are more puppets. They're not the only two that survived, like a lot of articles have said over the years. And I did a lot of appearances with those puppets when Kevin Kreiss from Time and Space Toys owned them from like 2006 to 2008. We took them to the Brookfield Zoo, Borders Books, Amazing Fantasy Books, a whole bunch of places so that the fans got to see them. And then he eventually had to sell them. And they were taken out of circulation, unfortunately. And now they sold for $368,000 through Profiles in History.
Wow.
I helped with the catalog on that. But they have a confidentiality disclosure that the winner doesn't have to disclose who they are. So I don't know who has them now. I was hoping that a museum or someone that would share them would get them. And hopefully that's what happened. But so far, I don't know who has them now.
So we don't know then if they'll, you know, go on tour again like they did before when you were part of that tour.
Exactly. But like I said, there are other puppets, and, you know, being the kind of focal point of Rankin Bass Productions here, I'm the one that always finds out about what is out there, especially in the States. And even you and Helen have gotten the chance to see some of the puppets at Chiller Theater. And, you know, I had some out in California with the Shag Stores. And it just depends on who owns them and if they want to share them or not. So I think eventually some of the Rudolph puppets will see their way to the fans again through either a museum or some of the appearances that I do.
That would be good. You continue to work on that and kind of smoke them out for us, Rick.
Right.
Now, in addition to your website, we mentioned miserbros.com, you've recently added a pretty amazing online store at Etsy.com. And tell us about this store and what you think of it.
Right. Well, that's still under the name Miser Bros. And I guess it's / Miser Bros. But yeah, Etsy's been very busy because I put a lot of the rare shows and soundtracks on there, and my books and so forth. And it seems like a lot of people that used to shop on eBay and Amazon have found their way to Etsy. It seems like the hot spot right now, especially for Christmas gifts. And it keeps me hopping.
That's good. From what I read on your blogs and your posts, that you're already having a great busy Christmas. So the Goldschmidt household is hopping. I guess you're doing a lot of packing and wrapping and so forth.
Well, I find that, you know, when things, this year hasn't been great for a lot of people for a lot of reasons, but I find that people really like to go back into their childhood and you know, and into the quality work that Rankin Bass have done for many, many years. During times of, you know, not so good things going on, it's really amazing how busy I've been. In fact, I think I've been as busy with signing books and things as I am when I do conventions. Like, I don't see any difference, any slowdown, because of the conventions have all been canceled. You know, it's been a busy, busy year for me. And I think, you know, people just love to reflect back on their when times were good. And Rankin Bass is a big part of that.
It is. As far as, in my opinion, as far as these Christmas specials, nobody does it better than Rankin Bass.
Yeah, they really became known for the holiday work that they did, and they didn't try to corner that market, so to speak. It just happened. You know, Rudolph was such a big success that all three of the major networks wanted something similar, and that's how Frosty and the Little Drummer Boy and Santa Claus Is Coming to Town and all these great specials came to be. Arthur Rankin, who was my closest friend in the company, he wanted to make feature films and big budget ones, not just, you know, the things that he did for ABC television and so forth. He wanted to do big budget features, but never quite got to that point. And then when he reflected back on his whole career through my books, he realized he was going to be remembered for Rudolph and Frosty, and it made him happy. But But that wasn't his goal. It wasn't to be Mr. Christmas in television, you know. It just happened.
That's not too bad of a consolation prize, though. That'll definitely give him immortality.
Right. And, you know, I used to do radio interviews with Billy Mae Richards, the voice of Rudolph. And initially when I contacted her, she was a little bit bitter. And I think her agent wouldn't even let her talk to me because they felt like they didn't get much from Rudolph. They got paid, a few $1,000s when they recorded the sessions. And, they saw what a big thing it became. But then she kind of had a change of heart where she knew she would be remembered for Rudolph and embraced it, and did a lot of radio shows with me. So it was kind of like an awakening that, Rudolph was really something special, and there's more things in life than money. And the memory of being this great character in this great special was her, greatest achievement.
Absolutely. Now, one of the probably most important components of the success of the classic Rankin-Bass productions is the amazing Rankin-Bass music. And we're going to play a few complete Rankin-Bass songs from some of these great Christmas productions, and then we can discuss the song and the special that it was in. But first, Rick, tell us a little bit about the creative forces behind the great Rankin-Bass music.
Well, to me, Maury Laws was one of the most important people in the Rankin-Bass group. And fortunately, I became great friends with him. He had a younger son named John who lived in the city in Chicago. And Maury was living in Appleton. And he would travel to Chicago to visit his son John and get a hold of me. And we would have dinner at the Drake or the Palmer House, wherever he was staying. And one time I even picked him up and brought him out to Elsin, the town that I grew up in, and recorded an interview with him in a recording studio about his whole career. And he and Jules Bass wrote some of the greatest songs in animation that there ever was. The Heat Miser and Snow Miser themes, Put One Foot in Front of the Other. The list goes on and on. In fact, all of the songs in Here Comes Peter Cottontail could have won a Grammy, in my opinion. And I'm a musician, too. So Maury and I had an understanding. And he was surprised I was so interested in the soundtracks. Like, in particular, Mad Monster Party, I was the first one to ever ask him about it and actually get a copy of it. Because it was shelved when they made the movie. So, Maury was a special guy in the organization, and that's why Arthur Rankin and Jules Bass worked with him basically from like 63 all the way till 85 when they disbanded.
Well, I agree with you. That music is absolutely phenomenal, memorable, and a big ingredient from the Rankin-Bass, the Rankin-Bass productions that we all love. And the first song that we're going to play is from the 1964 classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which pretty much put Rankin-Bass on the map. So let's listen to We Are Santa's Elves.
All out for elf practice! Well, let's get this over with. I have to go down and look over the new deer.
Okay, Santa. Now let's try out the new elf song I wrote. And remember, it's for Santa. And a one, and a two, and a three.
Ho, 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 we are Santa. building Santa's shells. With a toy for each girl and boy, oh, we are Santa's elves.
We work hard all day, but our work is play.
Dolls we try out, see if they cry out, we are Santa's elves. We've a special job each year.
We don't like to brag.
Christmas Eve we always fill Santa's bag. Santa knows who's good. Do the things you should. And we bet you he won't forget you. We are Santa's elves. Special job each year.
We don't like to brag.
Christmas Eve we always fill Santa's bag. Santa knows who's good. Do the things you should. And we bet you he won't forget you. We are Santa's elves. Ho, 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 ho. We are Santa's elves. Ho, ho.
Well, it needs work. I have to go.
What does Papa know? It's beautiful. You keep it just the way it was. Papa? Papa!
That sounded terrible. The tenor section was weak.
Wasn't our fault, boss. Hermie didn't show up.
What?
All right, Rick, I think Hermie's in trouble.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Tell us about this number and a little bit about that wonderful production presentation, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Well, first of all, Johnny Marks wrote all the songs for Rudolph. It wasn't Jules Bass and Maury Laws. But Maury Laws was brought in as the musical conductor for that special for the first time. And he told me, his musical style, which is very bouncy, there's a lot of glockenspiels in there. There's a lot of accents, especially during the musical break in that particular song. And he said where he got that from was he wrote some GE commercials a couple years prior to Rudolph, where he wrote the music for them. And the commercials were longer back then. They were about 2 minutes long. So you had to write a lot of music. And he used the Nutcracker theme, or the Nutcracker suite, as his inspiration. And that carried over into his style through the Rankin Bass years, where all the music is very happy and bouncy and memorable. And I think that's the key to it. And of course, you know, his partnership with Jules Bass, which started with the Daydreamer, that was the first song that they wrote, had a magic to it. Just great, great songwriting team that made music that was memorable and songs that would last, you know, 50 plus years, 56 years for Rudolph this year. And Rudolph, I had to write a whole book about it because it just was a very organic genesis for that program. It wasn't, they had no idea it would last more than 2 years. And NBC and the General Electric Fantasy Hour, but the talent on that particular special coming from everywhere, the voice actors, the writer Romeo Muller, the musical conductor Maury Laws, and you know, Johnny Marks's best work were the songs, because they tried to work with Johnny Marks again 2 years later for the Ballad of Smokey the Bear, and there's not too many songs in that special that people would remember. So he really came out with his best songs in Rudolph, and it just all happened in 1964, and we're still watching it 56 years later on CBS and now Freeform, too. So it's pretty amazing the talent that went into it. And these were not people, as today in entertainment, they hire people right out of college and, you know, pay them minimum wage or whatever they do. These were people that worked in the business 10, 20, 30 years before they all came together and worked on Rudolph. You know, Maury Laws was working in television for many years. Also did some Time Life record albums and various, you know, compositions and so forth. These weren't guys right out of college, as we see with a lot of today's entertainment. They were seasoned veterans and really had a talent for putting together, you know, great work.
And I'm sure, Rick, you've been asked this, and I have to ask you this. In the beginning of the clip that we just played, you heard the head elf who clearly had two different voices. He kind of is
right.
His mean, crabby elf, and then he was a little nicer and sappy when Santa was in the room. Can you explain or have an explanation on what happened there?
Well, here's what happened in my best guesstimation, because I've asked everyone, you know, including the sound engineer, Bill Giles, who worked in the studio in Canada, about things. And what I assume happened is they did all the recordings in Canada through, you know, booked sessions that cost a lot of money to hire everyone. And the voice actors did their work, including Larry D. Mann, who was the voice of Yukon, did Sam the Snowman, too. Burl Ives was added in late. He was an overdub at the very end. So I think what happened was they got to that particular section and they couldn't get the Canadian actor back into the studio in Canada, so they had to do one on the fly and record some of those lines in either New York or California, depending on where they were putting the finishing touches. But most likely it was in New York, because that was where Rankin Bass were located and where the sound people were as well. So they had to do a quick overdub, and they just got somebody that could sort of do a cartoon voice, and it definitely doesn't match very well. But that's it. You know, when I asked Arthur Rankin or whoever years and years later, no one could remember what happened. You know, there were so many changes made to Rudolph after the first airing, too, that I went into in my book. And those are kind of inexplainable, too. And some people say, oh, there was this big write-in campaign. And I remember Jules Bass sort of telling me that, but he couldn't remember exactly, you know, what happened. And I think it's more the fact that the guy from GE, Willard Sailoff, decided that he wanted to change a couple things. But the boss elf or the foreman elf, that voice, that had to have been done on the fly in New York, because either they might have erased that particular line, or they had to change the line. And they had to do it on the fly because of time. And, you know, like I said, it costs a lot of money to put the Canadian actors into the RCA studio in Canada.
And now we know the rest of the story. And we have some Facebook, sweetie.
Yes, we do. We have our friend Lisa and Jean Wilson. Lisa says, "Hi, Rick. These programs are a part of our childhood that are so dear to us. I remember when I saw Rudolph, I was 4 years old and had never seen anything like it before, and I was hooked. Such a precious memory."
Well, the look of the show is another thing too, because when I first saw it, I was real young as well, you know, probably 5 years old. And I remember thinking that Santa on that sleigh at the end, he was coming to my house. You know, that was my Santa, and that was the sleigh, you know, from there on in. But it was a believable world they created with the animagic, where you don't even really think of them as puppets because they had such an identifiable personality. And I think that's what Rankin Bass did best, was they brought personality to the art form, you know. Stop motion wasn't used a whole lot prior. And when it was more, you know, you thought of them as puppets when you see George Pal's Puppet Tunes or anything like that. And Rankin Bass brought, you know, strong personality to the characters, where Sam the Snowman, you think of him as Burl Ives, you know, that real warm character that we know. And I think that was a big part of it.
Absolutely. All right, we now have a medley of the main theme of the 1969 traditional animation classic, Frosty the Snowman.
Happy birthday!
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. Oh, when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around.
Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
The village with a broomstick in his hand, running here and there all around the square, saying, "Catch me if you can." Look at that frosty go.
Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump.
Over the hills of snow, Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way,
but he waved goodbye saying, "Don't you cry,
I'll be back on Christmas Day."
Wonderful. Tell us about Frosty, Rick.
Well, that illustrated perfectly what we just talked about. You hear a lot of accents in the background of the music, with xylophones and flutes and all kinds of high-end accents, and that was Maury, you know, that happy music, from Frosty. But then you have Jimmy Durante and Jackie Vernon, two very animatable voices used for Frosty, with very distinctful styles, you know, and that's what Arthur Rankin looked for. He didn't only look for a star talent, he looked for someone that's voice would be good for animation. And a lot of people ask, why did they go with cell animation for Frosty? And it was simple. Arthur wanted it to look like a Christmas card. And Paul Coker Jr. was doing Christmas cards for Hallmark through those years, and even continued up until recently doing Hallmark Christmas greeting cards. And it looks like a greeting card, and, you know, the lettering that he used on the buildings and in the credits and everything, that's all Paul Coker Jr. And Mushi Studios did that special, and I think they were best at capturing the Paul Coker look. And, you know, they would be working on a cell animated special and a stop motion special at the same time at two different studios. You know, back then, they were already working on Santa Claus Has Come to the Town, which came out in 1970, and Frosty was 69. So they had different studios in Japan working on television specials simultaneously.
Okay, that's an interesting point I wanted to ask you. So the decision whether they were going to do their animagic, which is pretty what they famous for, or traditional cell animation, it was a combination of a creative and I guess somewhat economical decision because of the timing that you mentioned. So they were actually working on multiple productions at the same time. So you had a creative people and you had probably some accountants in there also saying, do a cell animation now.
Right. Well, in 68, that kind of started with, they did the Little Drummer Boy in Animagic and then Mouse on the Mayflower in cell animation with the same studio that did the King Kong Show, Toei. And the King Kong Show started in 66. So they struck up these relationships with different studios so that they could deliver their television specials on time for the various networks. They had specials on all three networks, ABC, NBC, and CBS.
Awesome. All right, our next musical treat comes from one of my favorite Rankin Bass productions that's celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. So here from the 1970 production, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, is No More Toy Makers to the King.
I have a job for you to do. Now take this down.
It's a difficult responsibility that you accept from the number one lawmaker, me. Have it known throughout the land from sea to sea. There'll be no more toy makers to the king. All the tin soldiers, melt them down. Wash the face of every clown. Each bouncing ball deflated. No, I don't want to debate it. The ballerinas who pirouette, arrest their musical toes. Outlaw the dolls and sink the boats. They bring me only woes. It's a difficult responsibility that you accept from the number one lawmaker, me. Have it known throughout the land from sea to sea. There'll be no more toy makers to the king. Every jack in the box be sealed till my wounded pride be healed. Stuff animals, unstuff them. When a child objects, rebuff them. No more drummers who rat-a-tat-tat. No buglers who root-a-toot-toot. Don't let me see another toy or you will feel my boot.
It's a difficult
responsibility that he extracts from the number one lock keeper, me. Be it known throughout the land, from sea to sea,
toys are hereby declared illegal, immoral, unlawful, and anyone found with a toy in his possession will be placed under arrest and thrown in the dungeon.
There'll be no more toy makers to the king.
Wonderful number. Tell us about this, Rick.
Well, a lot of things come to mind when I was listening to it. First of all, that was Paul Frees singing with himself as the Burgermeister Meisterburger, and his second banana, Grinsley, which is spelled Grinzley. That's the name of that character, and we found that out for sure from the original script that I own, Arthur Rankin's copy. So it's kind of funny he's singing in two different voices in the same song. But that song was recycled from a project that Rankin Bass was working on, I believe in 1968, called Raggedy Ann. And I have the demo soundtrack available in my Etsy store, believe it or not, which has other cool Rankin Bass songs on the CD as well. But that song came from a proposed special called Raggedy Ann that Romeo Muller wrote, and for whatever reason never got produced. And they just took that song from that soundtrack and moved it over to Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. And of course, it fit perfectly because Chris and the Kringles were toy makers to the king.
Yeah, you mentioned about Paul Frees. That was an excellent point because obviously growing up, I thought it was two different performers, but he was right. Such a talented voice actor. And, you know, us old time radio fans, we know Paul Frees very well from Escape and Suspense and so many others. And also in the world of animation, he, you know, people talk about Mel Blanc, who obviously was a tremendous talent, but I truly believe Paul Frees is right up in that same level as Mel Blanc.
Well, Paul Frees told my friend Tim Lawson when he interviewed him for his Voices Behind the Magic book that there were only two people that he would get on a plane and work for, and it was Arthur Rankin and Jay Ward. Those were his two favorite people that he liked to work for. And through Arthur, I knew Paul Frees was Arthur's good luck charm. He would try to get him in every special that he did if he was available. And in fact, Arthur introduced Paul to one of his wives. You know, I think he was married, you know, four or five times, but Arthur introduced him to one of his wives. So they had a close friendship. And Paul Frees loved working for Rankin Bass. And the Burgermeister Meisterburger is probably his best work, in my opinion.
Very memorable. I love it. I love his Rankin Bass work, and I also love him on Rocky and Bullwinkle, as you mentioned, with Jay Ward. He's just one of my very favorite performers.
And now the Burgermeister Meisterburger has more meaning with a lot of these edicts from various politicians in lockdown situations with, you know, all kinds of crazy edicts. You know, then they break their own laws. And I think Romeo Muller, who's a writer, who was the writer for Rankin Bass on most of these specials, he knew politicians well. And Burgermeister Meisterburger represented all of them. And today, everyone's using his image for a meme, because, you know, so many politicians remind them of the Burgermeister. So it still rings true 50 years later that we have Burgermeister Meister burgers all over the place.
All right, we have another wonderful song from Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, and this one is, I have to admit, probably my very favorite one. So let's all enjoy Put One Foot in Front of the Other.
I really am a mean and despicable creature at heart, you know. It's so difficult to really change.
Difficult? Why, look here. Changing from bad to good's as easy as taking your first step. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door. You never will get where you're going if you never get up on your feet. Come on, there's a good tailwind blowing. A fast walking man is hard to beat.
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door.
If you want to change your direction, if your time of life is at hand, well, don't be the rule, be the exception. A good way to start is to stand.
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door.
If I want to change the reflection I see in the mirror each morn.
Oh, you do?
You mean that it's just my election?
Just that.
To vote for a chance to be reborn?
You put one foot in front of the other, and soon you are walking across the floor. You put one foot in front of the other, and soon you are walking out the door. In front of the other, and soon you are walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door.
Now you talk about bouncy and happy. This song certainly fits that bill.
Well, here's the thing about Put One Foot in Front of the Other and the song If I Could Only Get Back to Yesterday and Here Comes Peter Cottontail, which came out the next year in 71. Maury told me those songs were based on country music. And you can hear it because there's a guitar strumming and the tambourine clapping on that one. And the basis of the song was country music. And Maury was a guitarist. He played guitar in orchestras in the 50s. And he wrote songs a lot of times on the guitar. And that was one of them. And that's why it has such a fun feeling to it. It has sort of a country undertone to it with the strumming guitar. But what a great performance by Mickey Rooney and Keenan Wynn. Two great voices for animation. And Maury Law said the best things that Rankin Bass did had Mickey Rooney in them. And he was great for animation. He was a fabulous actor. And that's what Arthur Rankin really appreciated about him. top-rate actor.
I couldn't agree with you more, and this is probably why, you know, if you were going to twist my arm, Rick, I would say Santa Claus is Coming to Town is probably my favorite. I think they, I don't know, do you think that Rankin Bass peaked with this production?
I think so. It's funny you say that. I felt I had to write a book about Santa Claus is Coming to Town because when I was watching it in recent years, I thought, man, this special really has all the elements and makes me proud to be a part of the Rankin Bass legacy, you know? And when Fred Astaire says at the end of the special, you know, some people don't understand Christmas, and you see some flustered people and crabby people and things. It's true, you know, but there's a magic about Christmas, and it's not just a day. It's kind of a, you know, a spirit. And that special explains it all, you know, and the wedding scene with the song Christmas Carol really has a beautiful feel to it. And that, I think, was Maury Laws's favorite piece that he wrote, which is also on that Raggedy Ann CD that I offer on Etsy, the unedited version of the song. It's not clipped from the special. It was on a special Christmas card album that Rankin Bass made up in 71. And they put that on there because they felt that was their best work, you know, best representation of their work. So there's a lot of great things about Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And it took a whole book for me to talk about it.
All right. Our final Rankin Bass song is a medley from the 1974 classic, The Year Without a Santa Claus, and it features Snow Miser and Heat Miser.
I'm Mr. White Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow. I'm Mr. Icicle. I'm Mr. Ten Below. Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch. Ha, ha. I'm too much. Ha.
He's Mr. White Christmas. He's Mr. Snow. He's Mr. Icicle. He's Mr. Ten Below.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch.
He's too much.
I never wanna know a day that's over 40 degrees. I'd rather have a 30, 20, 10, 5, and then and free.
He's Mr. White Christmas, he's Mr. Snow.
That's right.
He's Mr. Icicle, he's Mr. Ten Below.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch tears the snow in my clutch. Too much.
Too much.
I'm Mr. Green Christmas. I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Heat Blister. Mr. 101. They call me Heat Miser. Whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
He's Mr. Green Christmas. He's Mr. Sun. He's Mr. Heat Blister. He's Mr. 101.
I touch starts to melt in my clutch.
He's too much.
Thank you.
I never want to know a day that's under 60 degrees. I'd rather have it 80, 90, 100 degrees. Oh, some like it hot, but I like it really hot.
Feeds Mr. Green Christmas, feeds Mr. Sun.
Sing it!
Feeds Mr. Heat Blister, feeds Mr. 101.
They call me Heat Miser, whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
Too much!
All right. Well, tell us about these chaps, Rick.
A couple of show tunes.
Yes.
Right off of Broadway. There was a song in Cricket on the Heart called Fish and Chips that Abby Lane sang. I recently just rewatched that special. And there's other songs that they wrote similar to that in earlier works. And I think by then, they kind of recycled that show tune, but they had no idea the impact those two characters would have, voiced by Dick Shawn and our good pal George S. Irving, who just died a few years ago. They really were over-the-top performers for those characters, and rightfully so, because they were very boisterous, braggart-type characters that are so memorable. In fact, most people remember them more than they remember Rudolph and Frosty, because when I do my appearances at various Comic-Cons and, you know, Hollywood shows, all people have to do is see those two masks that I have on my table. And they all say Heat Miser, Snow Miser, even though they probably don't know the title of the special or, you know, Rankin Bass Productions' name. They're not familiar with that, but they sure are familiar with the Heat Miser and the Snow Miser.
Obviously, an impact on you. That's your website is Miser Bros, and your Etsy store is Miser Bros. So, yes, I agree with you. These two characters were so memorable, and it's just such a – those two musical numbers are great. It pretty much makes the special.
Well, when I first worked on my book, The Enchanted World of Rankin Bass, the only thing that was available prior to the book was resin model kits, and that was it. You know, there weren't any licensed toys of the Heat Miser and Snow Miser. And when a resin kit came along, Arthur Rankin right away was like, I want two sets of those. Can you paint them for me? And Jules, I ended up painting and putting together two resin kits for Arthur Rankin and Jules Bass to have, because they love those characters. So they had a big impact on everyone, including the creators.
Wow. Now there's a story I never heard. That's great.
Wow. Yeah, and then Arthur and I started doing radio shows together. And on the radio show, he would tell him that I built model kits for him. And he was like, which ones are coming next, Rick? Like, he looked forward to them.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, is there a chance? Is there could be one of your next book projects be about the year without a Santa Claus?
Well, my business partner and co-author Wes Garlitz passed away in April, unfortunately, at a young age, and I don't know what it was, but I pushed him to try to finish a six pack of books off. And I kept telling him, this Frosty book is going to be the last one. You know, we need to get it done. And, you know, as you may remember, because you ordered the books, it came out after Christmas. And that was because Wes went into the hospital. And on the week that we were supposed to have it to the printer, he was in the emergency room. And we got it to the printer late because of that. And it was just weird how we did get the six books done. And I kind of feel like that's it. You know, that was my goal, to have six books. And I don't know about doing a seventh on the year without a Santa Claus, but if I did a seventh, that would be it. That would be the title. But there's not a whole bunch of material on the year without a Santa Claus. You know, they didn't do as much publicity for that particular special, probably because it was sort of a sequel to all the work prior. But, you know, it is one of their best.
It is. And it's another one that has some great songs that we, you know, we sing all year round. So.
Yeah. Right. I Believe in Santa Claus is a really touching song. And to have Shirley Booth in there as Mrs. C, that's phenomenal. And of course, you met Bradley Bulkey at Chiller Theater.
Yes, we did.
And he was a good friend of mine. He used to call me up regularly, and I sent him money regularly too when we were selling signed pictures on our website. And he loved getting those, what he thought were sort of residual checks. So he really enjoyed being a part of the Year Without a Santa Claus. And I was also good friends with Rhoda Mann, who passed away some years ago. But we did a signing at the museum in New York that Arthur Rankin was honored at. And she was the voice of Mother Nature, the Heat Miser and Snow Miser's mother. So there's a lot of good memories associated with that particular special.
Absolutely, and I look forward to it. I have to admit, sometimes I sneak a watch in, you know, in the spring or summer. It's just, it's that good of a special.
I also want to let you know, Rick, that I put links on our Radio Once More thread to your Etsy website and your miserbros.com website.
Oh, thanks.
Excellent. Well, our guest today has been author and official historian and biographer for Rankin Bass Productions, Rick Goldschmidt. And Rick's website, as Helen just mentioned, it's www.miserbros.com. It's on the Facebook. It's miserbros.com.
And the one thing
I'm sorry, go ahead.
One thing about miserbros.com, as I mentioned, Wes passed away in the spring. And shortly before that happened, we were going to switch the books over to soft cover, but we decided not to because there wasn't that much of a price difference. So we stuck with hardcovers, but the website unfortunately says soft cover on it right now. But every book that you order from miserbros.com is going to be hardcover. So some people may look at the site and think, I'm not going to pay, you know, $50 or $60 for a hard or for a soft cover.
I just saw that on there. I'm like,
Yeah. So a hard cover is what you get.
That's good to know. Well, Rick, thanks so much for chatting with us about Rankin Bass. It's always a pleasure to chat with you, buddy.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, and Merry Christmas and woohoo!
Merry Christmas, and here's a special woohoo for you, Rick.
Woohoo!
All right, there he is, folks. Rick Goldschmidt here on Radio Once More. That was a wonderful conversation.
Yes,
wow,
it was.
That was great. All right. Before we say goodbye, let's let you. There's some more Facebook items that you posted, and it's up there, correct?
Yes, all through the whole show. I have a whole list of.
All right. You want to do a quick run through?
I can do that real fast.
All right. Let's do a quick. Let's do another Rankin Bass Christmas Reload.
Behave yourselves. You can be darn sure that come snow or high water,
Santa Claus is coming to town.
All right, take it away, sweetie.
Okay, let me get down to the beginning. As Rick and Johnny were talking, I tried to put up some pictures that related to what they were talking about. And our friend Lisa and Jean said, thank you again for the most informative and enjoyable time.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Jean. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Here's a woohoo for you with a little Christmas magic.
Woohoo! The first thing they talked about was the auction of the Santa and the Rudolph figures. I've put a picture up. I'm not sure if they're the exact figures or not, but that's what we were talking about on the auction. I put up a post for Rick's Etsy spot for his Miser Brothers. It's Miser Bros, all one word. And we talked about the elves on the elf song. And I have a picture of the girl elves and the boy elves and Hermie from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Hermie doesn't like to make toys.
No, he doesn't. And we then talked about Frosty. And then we talked about Burgermeister Meister Burger. I think my things are out of order. But we did that song and put one foot in front of the other with Chris and Winter Warlock. Mm-hmm. And then I also put up a picture of Rick's books that he has done, and they can more than likely be found on the Etsy page or on the Rankin Bass page. I put a link to
his Miser Bros page.
His Miser Bros yes. page. Yes, we talked about Santa Claus is coming to town, and we talked about a year without a Santa Claus with Heat Miser and Snow Miser. And that is about it for the Facebook. And we want to say hey to David Van Landout for checking off the like feature.
Oh, thank you, David. Here's a woohoo for you, buddy.
Woohoo!
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for all the work you did, sweetie.
You're welcome.
Great, great job as always. And thank you, folks, for listening to this Woohoo Extra. Hope you enjoyed our conversation with Rick Goldschmidt. And it's always a lot of fun chatting with him. He's full of knowledge, and he's a good guy. And want to remind you folks that tonight for the live show on radio once more, the topic is crime and Christmas. So that'll be on tonight on radio once more at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So again, thanks so much for tuning in for this Woohoo Extra Christmas style, as Helen says.
Christmas style.
And we wish you all a great day, and we look forward to chatting with you folks soon. Take care and so long for now.
Woohoo! Woohoo! Woohoo!